Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just one more time, would you read together with me the title of our sermon today, Who Cares About the Reformation? Our theme is in that great Reformation passage from Romans chapter 3 that Ben read earlier. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being testified to in the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is ours in Christ Jesus. I invite you to follow your sermon outline as we ask the question, who cares about the Reformation? Well, obviously today is Reformation Sunday, but I have a question. Who cares? Do we need a special service on a special Sunday to remember what the Reformation was all about? Oh, I suppose it's helpful at least once a year to remind ourselves who began the Reformation, Martin Luther, the pastor and professor who lived in Germany 500 years ago, trying to reform or bring the church back to the truth of the Bible and the center of that Bible, Jesus Christ. It's certainly helpful to remember the Reformation to remind us of our own heritage as Lutherans, a bit of our history. But does the Reformation really matter besides that? At first glance today, the answer is no. You see, the Reformation was not so much about Martin Luther as it was about righteousness and certainty. How can anyone get right with God was the first question of the Reformation. And how can anybody be certain of heaven was a second. Now, let's be real. In North America today, most people really don't care at all about those questions. In a recent book entitled Timeline, a fictional novel written by the author Michael Crichton, there's a scene that portrays a greedy corporate executive officer giving a speech to a lot of his people. He's addressing possible investors in his travel business. Here's a part of his speech, and I quote, "In other centuries, human beings wanted to be saved or improved or freed, or educated. But today, people want simply to be entertained. The great fear is not of disease or death. The great fear is of boredom. It's a sense of having time on our hands, a sense that we are bored, that we, oh my goodness, are not amused." Do these words apply to us in the day in which we live now? Have people set aside the things of God and eternity to pursue amusement, entertainment, and excitement? Well, of course, we have. Are you more and more hearing or even speaking these words, "I'm bored with my life. I'm bored with my marriage. I'm bored with my job. I'm bored with the same routine"? Could it be, and this is a rhetorical question, which means the answer is yes, could it be that even within the church today, people are looking more for entertainment and amusement than for the truths of God's Word? Unfortunately, the answer to all these questions is yes. So, who cares about the Reformation? You see, today we're just not asking the same questions that Luther asked in the 1500s about being right with God and the certainty of heaven. Of course, most people say today, "Oh, I believe in life after death." Everyone you see likes to believe in happy endings. So, says this way of thinking, why worry about whether you're right with God? Why be concerned about eternal life? I recall clearly an example of this happy optimism right after the terrorist attacks on the Twin Trade Towers in New York. Can you believe that's 17 years ago? Someone drew a picture that was in many newspapers A picture of the fallen buildings with billowing smoke, and out of the smoke were figures of people rising to heaven. Now, standing above the smoke in the buildings, larger than them all, was a picture of Jesus. He had his arms open wide, welcoming everybody to heaven. Now, it's a wonderful picture, except, did everybody who died in those buildings go to heaven? This picture seemed to say that everybody who died, oh, excluding the terrorists, went to heaven, but did they? Does getting killed in such a tragedy automatically qualify you for heaven? No, says St. Paul. No, says the Holy Scripture. In our text from Romans 3, St. Paul tells us the truth. A truth that many of us in our day who live in a happy Peter Pan world of optimism doesn't want to face. Here's the truth. Romans 3 says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." It doesn't matter how you die. It doesn't matter whether you are young or old, a stockbroker on the 30th floor of the Trade Tower, or a custodian with a closet on the 5th floor. Or if you die of cancer or of old age, we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. Why do you think we've had so many baptisms in these last 2 months? Between English and Chinese fellowship in our congregation, in 2 months we've had 12 baptisms. What does that tell us? We are sinners in need of forgiveness. And God's place here is a place of mercy to deliver just that. Well, let me ask you the question that Martin Luther asked. How can you be sure of being right with God? How can you be certain of eternal life in heaven? The hapty optimism and wishful thinking in our world around us, as suggested in that newspaper drawing, is not the answer. The grace of God in Jesus Christ is the answer. The clear proclamation of the grace of God in Jesus Christ is why we still care about the Reformation. What Martin Luther did, and what we must continue to do, is to answer people's questions, their deepest questions, by turning to God's Word in the Bible. The Holy Word of God is not just the opinion of people. His Word is not just something made up to make us feel good. When we read the Scriptures, often they don't make us feel good. That's called the proclamation of God's law. But the purpose of that is to drive us to the sweet gospel of Jesus Christ. It was to this Word of God that Martin Luther turned to give true answers to the questions of life and death to people of his day, to questions about righteousness and certainty. And this is why we continue, say it with me, to care about the Reformation today. Now here's some sad truth. In today's modern church, I'm talking about all the spectrum of the Christian churches around. In today's modern church, some bad choices are being made. Choices to not base teaching and practice on God's Word, but on whatever happens to be the feelings and the popular opinions of people today, and especially following the powerful agenda of certain societal lobby groups. Let your mind just run with that for a bit. Just one example of many issues would be the example of the definition of marriage. Is marriage for one man and one woman? Is marriage for two men, two women? Or does it really even matter anymore? Most folks in our society would say, doesn't even matter anymore? Does the Christian church take a stand on what God clearly says in Holy Scripture, or does it exchange God's truth for whatever the popular view in society happens to be right now? The Reformation keeps one question always before us. And here's the question. But what does God's Word say? And this is why we still care about the Reformation. Now, one key Bible passage summarizes the very heart of the Reformation. It happened to be the Romans 3 epistle that Ben read for us today. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear it? Man's terrible sin and God's wonderful grace. This is the heart of the Reformation faith that still needs to beat strongly in the breast of the church and the people today. I was reminded of this not so very long ago. A young man came to visit me here at the church office. I had seen him before at Minoru Track. He was a runner, and of course, I go over there and run too. So I'd met him. We ended up going across the street and going for laps and laps and laps around Minoru Park. He shared many things in his life, a life with more than his share of tragedy and heartache. He said that he had really, truly appreciated visiting with us on Sunday before, and I said, why? And he said, because I heard the gospel of Jesus. Then he said something that really made me think, and here is his words. I wrote them down, and I quote to you. And to think that I had gone to my own church for 30 years and never heard that my sins were paid for by Jesus, never heard that I was made right with God and can know I can go to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. Now, I don't need to tell you what church he was a part of, you might guess. But it's a church body that continues to set aside the grace of God in Jesus Christ for the traditions and ceremonies of men. As a result, the sweet, good news of Jesus can be missed. And here is yet another reason, you guessed it, that we still care about the Reformation. This really is a matter of life and death. And when death draws near, and when death gets personal, and when death gets too close to ignore, we care about the Reformation. I look out there in the congregation and I see people like Violet. I see George. I see Marlene. Many of you, others of you. In this past year or so in our congregation, I've needed to minister to people close to death. To people and their loved ones staring death right in the face. It's at times like these that cheerful optimism or wishful thinking or cross my fingers and hope just won't do. By the way, next Sunday, what Sunday of the church is that? All Saints Day. We will celebrate the saints of God that have gone to glory in this past year. But it's times like these, the Reformation's answer, which is the Bible's answer, which is God's answer, is needed. This answer in certainty declares Jesus Christ crucified and risen for sinners like me. He is my righteousness. He is my certainty. And to get back to where we started at the beginning of the sermon, and that is where the newspaper drawing of the 9/11 terrorist attacks had it right. Standing above everything this world throws our way is Jesus. If anybody from that terrible tragedy was to go to heaven, it was because of Jesus. Now, perhaps I'm seeing more into that picture than the drawer meant. But if you look carefully at that picture, and you can Google it on your computers, Jesus' outstretched arms around that terrible tragedy, his outstretched hands were pierced with nail marks. Jesus was nailed to that cross on Calvary to make things right between God and us. The forgiveness of sins comes from his sacrifice. Eternal life comes from his death. Certainty comes from his resurrection. Jesus welcomes people with his loving arms because the grave could not hold him. Sin and death had no power over him. Because of Jesus Christ, your Lord, sin and death, my friends, has no power over you. Jesus Christ alone is the Reformation's answer. The Bible's answer. God's answer to all questions of sin and death and righteousness and certainty. Well, the well-known historical summary of our Lutheran faith, it's in your sermon outline, we talked about it with the kids, can be summed up with this phrase. Faith alone, would you say it with me? Faith alone. Grace alone. Scripture alone. Our faith rests on the grace of God declared in every page of Holy Scripture. And every page of Holy Scripture points the same direction to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the reformer of the church, Martin Luther. Thank God that as Trinity Lutheran Church, we can preach and teach even today, faith alone, grace alone, Scripture alone. And that is why we still care about the Reformation. Blessed Reformation Day to you, 2018. In the name of Jesus, amen.